and welcome to another episode of Interracial Marriage with Christina Adams. I'm your host and relationship coach. Today, we're talking with Brian Adams about growing up interracial.
A study done in 2018 by the Society for Personality and Social Psychology
showed that overall, white and black participants across the United States showed statistically significant biases against interracial
couples. In contrast,
for all you loving parents out there, multiracial individuals showed no evidence of bias against interracial couples on either
and
measure.
And in 2014,
13% of all babies born nationwide were mixed ethnicity. That's amazing considering that's three times the amount reported in the 1980
forerunner for tomorrow's integrated society,
which I find interracial relationships to be.
Makes some of us in interracial relationships question, what is it like to grow up biracial in today's society?
Some of the challenges. We've invited Brian Adams to share some of those experiences with us today.
Welcome, Brian Adams. So today we're going to talk about a little bit more of a serious topic than we did the last time you were on our show.
Boo with a seriousness.
Being serious. Today we're going to be talking about what it's like to grow up in an interracial household. And you grew up in an interracial household. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what your family's racial background is?
Yes, but first off, I grew up in a household.
True. Yeah. I absolutely agree.
My mom is German, Irish, and my dad's African American.
And can you share a little bit about what it was like growing up?
Amazing. When you're a kid, you don't realize stupid shit, I guess. You get older, you go, oh, that's why that happened. What that happened. But I know growing up, we didn't have a bunch of money. My dad made sure we had enough money, and he took care of us, taught me a lot of valuable skills that we did. And wouldn't trade it for the world, actually. Growing up with not having a silver spoon in your mouth is probably better than not knowing how to change your own oil in your car.
They both made a pretty amazing man.
Yeah, my mom taught me my sensitive side, and dad taught me how to be a man.
So your dad pushed you into sports a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
He just knew playing sports would keep me out of trouble. If you ever have another sibling that's closer to my age, I have two siblings, but one's closer to my age, and when we were younger, we played sports, and he made a deal with us. You play the sport for 2 years, and if you don't like it, you quit, but you're playing it for 2 years. And he was correct about that, because after the second year, you started enjoying it. So, you're around and played sports.
So, what sports did you play?
When I was younger, my dad made sure we were playing baseball, because it's a D-ball. And then, coach pitch, and then that was that season, and we're playing soccer. When we got old enough, it was football. You had to be 8 years old to play football. So, we got rid of soccer, but we still played baseball. We always played basketball. Basketball, baseball, and football. And when we got older and did junior high, it was more baseball and football. And then my brother was really good at baseball. And I hate baseball. But I still enjoyed the whole team. I enjoyed having that atmosphere, I guess, of just playing sports, challenging yourself.
And you became pretty good at football, right?
Decent.
You got a scholarship.
Yeah.
So, what are some other activities that you can remember growing up that your parents went out of their way to do for you?
Fishing. I remember going fishing with my dad, camping, a lot of stuff. I remember we didn't have a lot of money, so my dad actually got us a motorcycle. We were supposed to. He told us, I got you a motorcycle. I can't wait till you get off work, Dad. I can't wait. He came home. And we saw the motorcycle. And the motorcycle didn't even run. What kind of shit is this, Dad? You got us a motorcycle that doesn't even run. Yeah, got to make it run. And so we actually got this thing to run. And he helped us. He kind of showed me the basics at a younger age. I learned how to build a two-stroke dirt bike at a very young age, actually. And it was kind of funny because at that time we didn't have a motorcycle. We didn't have a motorcycle riding gear. But we were playing football, so we had a helmet and pads. I remember we got that thing running, and let's suit up football gear and let's ride the motorcycle. And I learned how to ride a motorcycle with football gear, shoulder pads, and a helmet. I was safe. It was wide open field, so it was kind of nice.
And what were the holidays like at your house?
The holidays were awesome. Like I said, I come from a big family, so we'd always do Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. Everybody do like their own home thing, and we'd always meet up at my grandma's house, my great aunt or great uncle's house, and they lived a block and a half away from each other, and it was kind of just a block party because that's a big family. It's always really fun, and I need to go back.
I just What about going to your mother's side of the family? What was that like?
It was always fun. It was an adventure. They live in Southern California, and we were in different parts. So it was always like a road trip. We'd stay like 4 days. We'd make a trip out of it. It was kind of fun. And there was this place called Castle Park. It was basically just a fair, but it was there year-round. California never gets cold in the winter. There's Castle Park. Just a theme park that has rides. I just remember being a little kid going down there, playing video games with my cousin. Yeah. On Castle Park.
Growing up, did you ever face indifference or racism from either side of your family?
Yeah. So that is one of the reasons why we didn't go down. Well, there was one time that my mom wanted to visit her sister the year I was graduating. The chance to go visit everyone from couple of days off, and I wanted to go down south. And so me and my high school buddy took the train, and we were gonna head down south to go meet up with a different buddy. And the mid stop was my mom's side of the family, my family too. So I get there, and I haven't seen my uncle in like probably about 10 years, I would say. I'm a teddy bear. I love hugging people, so the first thing I do is I jump in the car, I have to get in here. I'm hugging everybody. I go to give him a hug. First thing out of his mouth is, "Where are you going to stay tonight?" And I get a hug. And he gave me a hug, and he was very persistent on where I was going to stay. And I was doing very well in my life. Pretty good. To be honest with him, it wasn't with him. But it just, I haven't seen you in 10 years, and first thing you want to know is where I'm staying. It's like, well, I got a hotel reservation. That's all he really cared about. And after that, he wanted to do with me. So I got disappointed. And then I met up with my buddy. I'm closer to my dad's side because they're more accepting. And I'm still not very close to my mom's side of the family. Still.
Looking back on your childhood now, were there any differences that you now notice that maybe you didn't notice growing up?
Yeah, I don't know. When you're a kid, you don't realize things. And like getting older, and society has definitely changed since I was a kid. Even now, kind of looking back, like some of the times we're going grocery shopping with my mom and some of the folks, well, that's kind of weird. And some of the comments, oh, that's why they said that now.
What were the comments that you would hear?
Are you lost, kid?
Oh. So can you tell our listeners what your passions are and why you have those passions?
I love riding bikes. I used to love playing football. Got my scholarship. Playing football is awesome. But bikes are there forever. I love cycling. Love riding bikes. From a young age, riding BMX. Used to race BMX. Used to race dual slalom mountain bike. Really fun. Got out of it because of sports. Football took over a lot. Got older. The older I got, the less I ride bike. You get a license, you don't ride bike. Older you get, they're like, hey, let's ride bikes again. But I can remember just having the sponsorship of my mother and being a little kid. Mom, can I go to the race? Yeah, my bike's broken, Mom. And she grounded up everything she possibly could do. Buy me a frame and go race my race. This is kind of cool.
So what started your passion in biking?
My mom's friend, actually. He took me up and down Highway 1 and both black and us mountain biking and surfing. It was pretty nice.
And you did do some surfing as well.
Do you ever find yourself panicking when you're filling out government forms that are asking what your race is?
Panicking, definitely not. So I'm half black, half white, and athletic either. So it's kind of fun just like checking Caucasian, and I always wait for a response. Nobody ever looked at that. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I just do that to mess with people. I don't understand why that needs to be on a government form or any form.
We're being put into boxes.
And that's why I like to just mess with people. And there's other times where I check other random shit. Because what does it matter?
So do you feel like there's anything that has been easier to you for being biracial?
Nothing comes easy in life. One thing my dad always taught me, you gotta work for everything you have. You gotta earn it.
Do you ever remember thinking that you didn't look like your mom or dad?
Yeah, there's one time when I asked my mom if I was adopted, and she told me no. And that's where I got to talk about interracial marriages. And it was just something kids, they go to school, they see something different. You're at school. Hey, why am I this color? My mom's this color, my dad this color, and I'm neither of those. And then you ask, I adopted?
Did your dad ever say anything to you about the interracial portion of it?
He's the one that implanted most of it in my head. You are who you are. Life's what you make it. And my mom taught me a lot of this too.
Do you find that you choose one race over the other?
No, but there's some times where I'm pulled up one race or the other. Like, oh, you want to go skydiving? There is not a black man that I ever jump out of a curfew before complaining. And that's the weird part about it, the way the whole world divided. And that's the weirdest part of it. Not the world, but just how people see things, how it's so separated. I have never looked at myself either way, one or the other. I am a person. Just like everybody else. Shitty fucking people, but it doesn't matter skin color. And I've never looked at myself, oh, I'm going to be white today, I'm going to be black today. I just love all cultures.
Do you face discrimination as a result of being biracial?
Yes, I do. It's just something, like, whatever. I don't have time for that shit. I guess just the mindset of that poor person has to make that comment or this or that. It just usually makes me laugh. It's more of a joke. I usually walk away from the situation, I'll make a comment, and I'll tell you later about it.
Yep. I think just with your personality that it's a lot easier for you to laugh some things off, but there's been some time that I would say is difficult.
Yeah, there was one time where I was snowboarding and I was saying a lot of racial slurs at the race. It wasn't following me the whole day. Mm-hmm. It got kind of annoying and we left early.
Okay. So let's tell the truth. He wouldn't let it go and he was following you the entire day.
Yeah.
And you said something along the lines to him, if you're going to be racist, at least be racist to what I am.
And we laughed early.
Okay, I guess I'll move along from that story then.
What are some things that you wish the world knew about being biracial?
I like diversity, and I've experienced quite a bit of different diverse and cultures and stuff, but I haven't experienced a lot. But from what I have experienced, I wish people would be more considerate, more loving.
Understanding.
Yeah, understanding. I would just wish everyone would come together and have some love. You should know somebody. I know the coronavirus sucks, but... know somebody.
Did you find any benefits from growing up where you got to learn different parts of one culture and another culture that kind of made you a well-rounded person that you are?
Yeah. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, my mom's German and I remember that. My favorite food is going to be cabbage.
It's one of them.
That's pretty amazing. I think all of my favorite dishes, like gumbo.
I'm not fond of that, but...
You like the greens.
Yes.
The beans sound pretty good.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Well, we better wrap this up today. Biracial individuals often have an intersectionality that a lot of other races don't have. Intersectionality is a framework for conceptualizing a person, group of people, or social problems affected by a number of discriminations and disadvantages. Taking into account people's overlapping identities and experiences in order to understand the complexity and prejudices they face. Thank you all for listening today. Please share this episode with someone who may benefit from its knowledge. And please consider donating to this podcast to ensure the continued education, support, and community provided by Interracial Marriage with Christina Adams. I hope you've learned some tips and tricks
today to help you strengthen your interracial relationship. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and hit subscribe from whatever platform you're listening on to never miss an episode. Consider rating our podcast to keep our show on air. Until next week, don't forget to follow the love.